Do you guys understand that we have a mission and a purpose? You guys get that? Now, we have a mission and a purpose that's beyond just gathering together in this church and singing worship songs. That from the time that you were born and God knit you together, He was equipping you with skill sets and abilities and forming you to be this soldier or this tool or this weapon, if you will, to be used to build His kingdom and to set people free that the enemy has in bondage. You were designed to work for God. Everything in you was designed and placed and equipped. And one of the things I have a hard time doing, if you ever watch like America's Got Talent or any of these talent shows, and I watch these people singing, and they've got some amazing voices and amazing talents, but in the back of my heart, I have a hard time celebrating because I see them using them for other things. And I think, man, to be able to sing like that, man, they don't even realize that they were being given this gift to worship the King of Kings and to build His kingdom. And they misuse them for so many different things. And they start trying to build their kingdoms and glorify themselves. And they do real well according to the world. And they make all this money. But you find in the end, if you get to hear some of their stories, because some of them get pretty transparent, they're miserable. Because there is this place inside of them, like we were born to worship God. And if you aren't worshiping God, there's an emptiness and there's a void inside of you and inside so many people. And they try to fill that void with something to give them peace or happiness. And so they run from one thing to another, hoping that this will be the thing that will finally bring me joy, will finally bring me peace. And it might satisfy for a moment, but it doesn't satisfy very long. This is why Tom Brady can stand up in a 60-minute commercial back then. I think he had 3 rings, only 3. I heard he had to get a 6-finger sewn on to hold the next ring. That's what I heard. But he only had 3 Super Bowl rings. But I remember in the interview, I'll never forget it, because he said, man, I've achieved everything. He's got this wife who's this model. He's got all the money. He's achieved so much. Yet he finds himself saying, there's got to be something more to life than this. And everything I want to say is, yes! Yes, there is. There's something more to life. And until you place inside of you what you were born to have inside of you, and that is the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with your skill sets and your abilities, you will always have a void. But when you start worshiping God, this is what's so cool. You can have no money and no position and no title and no fame, but you can have joy and excitement and happiness that the world does not understand, because you have finally got in you what you were born to have in you. And I get excited, man. God has positioned this church and He has positioned you. Each one of us are positioned, and we must run our races. 2 different words from the Holy Spirit this morning saying, man, stay focused. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. It's not what's coming to a church corporately. It's not what's coming to a pastoral staff. It's what's coming to you. You have a role and you have a purpose. And so as I say all that to go, man, what is Pentecost Sunday? Because unfortunately, in Pentecostal circles, we reduce it to, oh, it's about speaking in tongues. Let me tell you something. I believe in speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. But the speaking in tongues is an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing, but it was never meant to be about an evidence. It's meant to be about a power. And so speaking in tongues is evidence that there's a deeper power that you've been filled with and baptized with. And that deeper power goes beyond speaking in tongues. I can walk around like this after eating, and you go, there's evidence. That guy just pigged out. He can barely move. Just saying, right? But the nutrition doesn't come from the evidence. It comes from actually, well, that's a bad example. But you know what I'm trying to say. And so when I think of Pentecost, I mean, my hope to you is that, man, we can grab this. Because if you will grab this, it'll transform your lives. But I want to be clear. There are some people who get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they become ugly, mean, super spiritual Christians. They just do. They walk around as if there's some kind of like senior position, like, oh, you don't speak in the, I do. I've arrived. And like, give me a break. It's a free gift. Get over yourselves. It's not about that. And so my hope, and sometimes we get nervous of it. Oh, it sounds weird. It is weird. It's supernatural. No one ever goes, that's normal. It's just not normal. But I want to tell you, it's real. And when you experience it and you receive from it, it changes your life. But sometimes we shrink back from it because we get nervous. We're like, man, I don't know if I want to sound like that. And I get that, but you're missing out on something. Something that you were designed to receive. And if you don't speak in tongues, listen, don't get hung up over that. It's the worst thing you can do. I think when I was first trying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't know why I was trying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just knew I was supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I was like so like determined to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so like, and I wish I'd asked some different questions. And those questions I'll ask you. And they're not hard questions. But when we think of Pentecost, I just, in my mind, I couldn't shake it. Just Revelation chapter 4 has been on my mind this morning. And even as I pray with a couple people, I've quoted it. Because when I think of the power and the authority of God, I think about how John describes the throne room of God. And let me just read for you just a couple of verses from it, if I can limit myself. He says this, and this is from chapter 4 of Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God. And also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. And the third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And this is what I love. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. If you jump over, you don't have to chapter 5. It says this, as it continued to describe what's happening in the throne room. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And it goes on and on, and I could read it and read it and read it, but the point behind it is, man, do you get the picture of the power? John's grasping for words to describe this immense power. And in that description of the throne room of God, the Trinity is represented. Holy, holy, holy for each member of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all there. And so when we talk about Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the power, the immense power. Power that we can read about in Revelation chapter 4 coming and indwelling and overflowing through us. That kind of awesome power. Amen. You guys are like, yeah, I know. I mean, do we I mean, do we get that? I mean, we're talking about the power of the living God flowing through you in your everyday life. And there's still blank looks on your faces. You're like, yeah, I've got that. I don't know. Rob. I volunteered Rob to help me out today. Rob, come on up here, my friend. I've got a job for Rob to do. Last night, I had nothing better to do than to sink about 50 screws into a piece of wood. And so would you sit down there and just go ahead and start removing those for me? And here, if you, because I want to use them again. No, you can just go ahead and just remove them. No, you're fine. You're good. You need a drill. Anyway, so Rob's going to work on that for me. Okay, I'll give you a drill. You guys thought I was going to be mean. All right, there's the drill. He's already asking for power. Now, you've got everything you need, Rob. You've got the head here. Now, watch this. Look, watch. See, just put it in there, and you just twist. Okay?
Okay.
You got it?
You keep preaching, I'll keep twisting.
I like this. It's like we planned this. I keep preaching, you keep twisting. This is really good. So I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and do a bit of a teaching at what it is, because there can be some confusion here. So this is what it is. The Holy Spirit comes to you at the point of salvation, okay? The minute you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you. Don't be distracted by Rob. He's got a mission to do, all right? All right, and this is what it says. In all descriptions and the use of different terms to explain the conversion of the believer, it is clearly stated the Holy Spirit is the agent at conversion. He convicts men of sin. Let me be clear. You don't convict men of sin. I don't convict men of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts men of sin. He sanctifies or sets them apart to salvation. He convinces them of righteousness, and he dwells within them. That's John 6:44, John 14:17, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And no one becomes a Christian without this gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says this, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. All right, so when people accept Christ, the Holy Spirit begins a great work in their lives. All right, so don't let anyone tell you that the Spirit isn't in you if you don't speak in tongues. All right, the Spirit dwells in you, he lives in you. You couldn't be a Christian without it. However, there is an additional and distinct ministry of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. There's an additional, distinct ministry of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? R.A. Torrey writes this. It is evident that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an operation of the Holy Spirit, distinct from and additionally to his regenerating work. All right? It's in addition to sanctification. So it is entirely possible that a man can be saved, have the Holy Spirit in them, and still not be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You following? All right. In regeneration or salvation, there is the impartation of life by the Spirit's power, and the one who receives it is saved. Let me steal that from you real quick. I know I'm hindering you. So there's the impartation of life, and this is kind of a crude example, but when you're saved, it's like, okay, here is the Spirit. Rob's just got saved. Here's the Spirit, and I'm giving it to you. All right, you've got it. All right? In baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's an impartation of power. All right? And the one who receives it is fitted for service. So now there's something that Rob desperately wants here. It's called power. Right? Power. Now let me challenge you guys. All right? I'm going to jump around a little bit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. All right? You need the power. There are too many of us doing exactly what Rob is doing right now. Sorry, Rob. See, here's what happens. This is what Jesus does. I'm just going to jump ahead before I get back into explaining this. All right? They get saved. All right? The disciples are saved. They get given this. And they're like, hey, then Jesus says, now listen. All authority in heaven and earth is mine. Now go. Remember the Spirit's always said this to us? Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. In that moment, Rob's disciple, this is what Jesus says. This is your mission, Rob. By pulling these out and saving them from the wood, if you will, you're going to lead them to me and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so here's your mission. And then he says this. Rob's getting ready to go, and he goes, but wait. Wait before you go. Because there's a special gift from me that I need to give to you to make you more effective in your work for me. Wait for the power that comes from me. So they wait. They're sitting there. But what happens in Christian circles today is we don't wait. We're too busy. And so we start doing this. How many guys? He's done pretty well. He's done 6 so far. All right? Now, what's the purpose? Let me ask Rob this question. Rob, why did you want power? Okay, I'm going to give him a mic real quick. All right? These are like stupid questions from Pastor Selwyn. All right? All right. So why would you want power? You asked me, you said, hey, is it missing something? I'm like, no, just go. Why would you want power?
It's easier, more efficient.
It makes more efficient. Will it speed up your time?
Absolutely.
Wear you out less?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, are you sure you don't want power to do this? All right, when you first pick up a cordless drill, what do? You typically do this, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Make sure it's there.
Right? Why? What is that?
It's a test.
It's evidence. Of power. Now, there's so many people as Christians that are going, man, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you go, why? I want to stand in church. And I'm going to go, man, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the noise I'm making. And you go, hey, John. Oh. You don't have? You sure? Oh, well, I don't know if I can hang out with you. And John's doing this. Man. I've been asking for power. I so badly want to go. Z-z-z-z. And then we get to church and all of us go, okay, everyone together, raise your hands. And everybody squeeze your power. And let's glorify God by doing this. Come on. Right? You get my point? Guys, this isn't a country club. This isn't about, like, just being able to make us sound. God didn't give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit to make us loud on Sunday morning. Now, I'm not taking away from a prayer language. There's power in your prayer language. There's power in praying in tongues. But this was an equipping for service. And so when I said to Rob, why do you want this? He didn't say, it's because I just want to do this. He's like, no, because I've got this mission, and you've told me I need to remove these screws, and that power is essential in me being more effective. Now, it sounded like a stupid question to ask Rob, but when you ask Christians why they want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, a lot of them can't tell you why. And all their mind goes to is this. This, you can close your eyes and not see it, and you can hear the evidence of power. But this was built and designed for something greater than just noise. So I want to challenge you and say, man, How are you doing ministry for God? He has equipped you from the time that you were born. He has given you what you need. This is the right head right here that goes into this, if I can put it in, that fits these screws to get the job done. You've been designed by God, equipped by Him, from the time that you were knit together in your mother's womb to be effective for the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you cannot be effective without this, because I'm not saying that you're a lesser Christian. What I am saying is it's going to take you a lot longer to achieve what God's called you to achieve without His power. And I will say this, you will never fully embrace and reach what God has for you to reach and do in this world unless you have His power overflowing through you. Rob was able to get, so far before I stole this from him, 6 screws out. Is he accomplishing what I asked him to do? Absolutely, he's accomplishing what I asked him to do. Now watch what happens when he has power. You might need to reverse it. How many you got? 4. 4, and how many seconds was that? Compared to 6 and how much time he took on his own. You guys get the point? Give Rob a round of applause. Thanks, Rob. Now let me drive this point home with you, all right? How do we see this illustrated in Scripture? Let's put it right there. That's fine. Let's look at Jesus' life. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit from Mary's womb, right? She fell pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Safe to say that God's DNA is in Jesus, all right? He is fully God, he's fully man. The Spirit of God is in him from birth, conceived by the Spirit. He grows as a boy, he lives a sinless and obedient life. And for 30 years of his life, there are no recorded miracles. Yet the Spirit is in him. No question, fully God, fully man. They're considered silent years. Then at the River Jordan, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember this? The Spirit descends on him like a dove. He receives the anointing from on high, which launched him upon and maintained him in the most dynamic, miraculous ministry. Interesting how this is, we've given an example of this in Jesus Christ. This was his life. A.J. Gordon makes the same distinction. He says, let us observe that Christ, who is our example in all things, did not appear upon his ministry till he'd received the Holy Spirit. Dr. A.B. Simpson, founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, writes this, first he, Jesus, was born by the Spirit, then he was baptized by the Spirit, and then he went forth to work out his life and ministry in the power of the Spirit. If this is good enough for Jesus, isn't it good enough for us? So we can see this lived out in Jesus' life. Now let's look beyond Jesus. Let's look at the disciples' lives. How was this evident in their lives? The disciples of Jesus had left everything to follow him. Matthew 19:27. They had confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 16:16, John 6:68-69. Jesus had pronounced them clean in John 15:3, with the exception of Judas. John 13:10-11. He had also declared that their names were written in heaven, Luke 10:20. Jesus is then crucified. He appears to his disciples. Then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit power after his resurrection. It's found in John 20:22. And this is what he says. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is all done before Pentecost. He tells them, receive the Holy Spirit. Riggs writes this, so we see that on the night of the resurrection, when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the resurrected, glorified Christ was now available to human hearts. And Jesus hastened to impart this life to his disciples. The Spirit of God's Son, the Spirit of Christ, as the Spirit of conversion, came into their hearts on that occasion. He had died and become a glorified being in order that he might come into the lives of all believers. And so they have clearly received the Holy Spirit. Then they are given the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And yet, they were commanded by Jesus to wait to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit before leaving. He'd already said to them, he already breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 49 says this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. They had received the Holy Spirit already. They'd been given their mission, but they yet needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit to empower them before ministry. And then all through the book of Acts, we see empowered disciples performing miracles in the name of Jesus. So as we can see, not only in the life of Jesus, but also in the lives of the disciples, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was an empowering for service and for ministry. Let no one tell you that unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you from the time you get saved. But there is a distinct and additional ministry of the Holy Spirit called the baptism. That is a free gift for you. You don't have to earn it. You just have to want it. But I have found that understanding why you need it is important in the process of receiving it. God doesn't want to create a bunch of Christians that sit in church showing that they have power. God wants to empower his people to fulfill the mission that he has called them to that requires his power to be fulfilled. You get that? And that's what God has for you. You are not a lesser Christian if you don't have it. But I will say this to you. God, it is God's desire that you would have it. He wants you to have it. What it means is that you're going to have a harder time getting things done and being as effective as you could be without it. Now, what are some of the barriers that hold us up? You know, for me, it took, like I said, it took 3 years to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I began thinking, man, what is wrong with me? I'm going to tell you what was wrong with me, all right? What was wrong with me is I'm a control freak. That's what's wrong with me. That's it. I like to be in control too much. And so for me, I've been pushed around rooms saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And the minute someone would come up to me, and they would come up and they'd be like, okay, you know how they've done it. You guys have been in church long enough where they say, hey, come forward, Lori, can you come forward real quick? She's my wife, so I can get away with this. But come forward, and now you've got to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is aggressive. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have this firm hand on your forehead to make sure that whatever, that just freaks me out. You're like, I don't want that. You know, now I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about, that's a tight grip on my forehead. And then they start doing this now, and they get people, and they start pushing you back like this, and you're like, and I spend my life, I've been pushed around many rooms trying to receive the baptism, and I want to tell you where my heart was. I wasn't thinking about God. If I was praying anything, I was praying, God, make these people leave me alone. And so, because I don't want, thank you, Lori, but I didn't want that. I get self-conscious of being up there, but I wanted this power. But it scared me a little bit. Like, man, I don't want to sound weird. You know, I know when people give messages, I'm not knocking. I've given messages in tongues, I've given interpretations, but for someone who's not used to it, it sounds weird. I know I sound weird when I do it. It is weird. Why? Because it's supernatural. Doesn't mean it's not God. God does a lot of things he calls us to that are unusual, that calls us out to trust him and believe him. But you can hear something, it kind of makes you nervous, but then you can hear God speak to you in the midst of it and go, wow. But my point is this, what was keeping me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't that I wasn't worthy, is that I had to learn to relinquish control. Because there was something in me that's like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. Listen, when you're following the Spirit, when you're following after him, he's going to lead you to places that are uncomfortable. He's going to lead you to places that you might not want to go, that might be against your better judgment. And unless you have learned to surrender control of your life to him, you won't go. And so there's something about surrendering your tongue, because to get to that point where you're like, okay, man, I think, what if this is gibberish, and what if this isn't of God, and what if this is, I'm just going to sound like a fool, and what if, and all these questions go through your mind when you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you feel like you've got some words that God's begin to give you, but you're afraid because you might sound foolish, or you might look weird, or whatever the case might be, and then we hold back. You know what I mean? So when you let go and you trust God, that's a huge part of the Holy Spirit baptism that's necessary in order for you to be effective. Because like I said, it starts with your tongue. If you can't release your tongue, you'll probably never release your body. If you don't learn to say, wait a second, if you're not willing to say, hey, listen, I love God, I think it's what he might be saying, I might look foolish, but I don't care because I want this, because if this is what God has for me, I want this. Unless that's the attitude that begins to prevail, because in me, when I was seeking the Holy Spirit, I got to the point where I was desperate, where I was like, man, God, I don't care anymore. I need this, and I want this, and I'm willing for whatever. And that's where what it took in my heart for God to say, okay, now you'll receive it. Because what God wants you to relinquish is far more than your tongue. He wants you to relinquish your life. And when things don't make sense and you have to wrestle with God and he leads you somewhere that terrifies you, he wants your obedience, not your control. Our control and my control will keep me from going where God wants me to go. I'll tell you what, when you begin to release control of yourself and your body, and you begin to go where God tells you to go, and you begin to take on things, and you know what? You know what we're scared to release our bodies? Because when God calls us to something, we immediately disqualify ourselves. It's all through Scripture. Moses did it. I do it all the time. Well, this is why you can't use me, God, because I'm a knucklehead, and I don't speak well, and I'm not educated, and this is why God says, no, don't you understand what the power of my Spirit can do in you? If you just say, God, here I am as a knucklehead, here I am uneducated, here I am with not enough skills, and you say, God, here I am, and then the Holy Spirit, the one that we just read about in the throne room of God in Revelation, says that power and that peals of thunder and lightning, that power and authority, as the Spirit already said to us this morning, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, takes root and begins flowing through you as a vessel. It's got nothing to do with your ability and everything to do with his, but he needs you to open up your life and relinquish control, and then he will make you into a powerhouse, not to glorify you, but to glorify him. And when you live a life like that, you become unstoppable and you terrify the enemy. Amen. Amen. I have said this from the beginning. Well, I'm not up here because I don't have enough education up here. My sister has a PhD from Harvard, and I said to her, God, can you just give me a couple of your degrees? You have enough. Just one would be nice. You know? But I mean, God takes us when we just relinquish ourselves. Tongues is important because it takes something to relinquish your tongue. My heart, God's heart for Pentecost Sunday is not that we have a bunch of people come up here and leave speaking in tongues and it stay there. But God's desire is that people would respond to him and be powered for service that will take them beyond their own boundaries of what they expect they can do and accomplish for him. And that is Pentecost. You know what Pentecost is? And this is just something that's hit me lately. Is Pentecost to me is Peter running away from Jesus before he's about to be crucified and disowning him and saying, I don't know who this man is. And 50 days later, that same man walking up to a beggar who says, hey, you know, can you give me some money? And he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I freely give in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. That's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. He didn't look at him and start speaking in tongues. Tongues was evident in his life, but there was a power and a confidence and a boldness. And then he went and stood before the Sanhedrin, and they boldly professed who God was. He wasn't running away then. And then when they threatened his lives, he said, listen, you will never shut us up. That's Pentecost, that transforming power. Listen, Peter ran away. In 50 days, something happened to transform him. And it's only because of the power of the Holy Spirit that happened. And here's the cool thing. God has that for you and for me. Not to be limited by our own guards and holding us back. But God has given us a mission. The only reason this church exists is to lead people to freedom in Jesus Christ. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to build his kingdom and to love people to life. And if you embrace that, God will call you out beyond your comfort zones. He's called us to go and be missionaries in Peru. It doesn't mean that he's calling you to do that. But I will tell you one thing. He is calling you to do something. And I can promise you, it will be out of your comfort zone. Don't limit God by restricting him to what your abilities are. Man, it's all through Scripture. And this is what he has for you. God's brought us to this building not to make us more comfortable. He brought us to this building because there are more seats still in this building that aren't filled. Look around you. Look around you. Everybody look around you. You have responsibility to fill these seats, not to build the name of a church, not to build some kingdom, not to build glad tidings, but not to build some earthly kingdom, but to build his kingdom. You have been born for this. Now he says, all you have to do is ask him for that power. That's it. And some of you will get it right away. And some of you, it may take a few days. And that's okay. Some of the most beautiful stories I have, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, this whole tongue thing, it freaks me out. And I've had the privilege of talking to different people and from different denominations. And I tell them, guys, listen, I don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. It's just not something I'm focused on, all right? I care that you are empowered and used by the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, the one thing we should be able to say is this: I want everything that God has for me. That's it. And I want to ask you, do you want everything that God has for you? And maybe you look at me and go, I don't know about this tongue thing. Listen, get over that, all right? Just ask one question. You want everything God has for you. And all I would encourage you to do is ask him for everything that he has for you. And if you wake up speaking in tongues, don't blame me. Just saying. But it's not about that. It's not about that, all right? It's not about that. You just seek God and say, God, I'm opening myself. I want everything. I've heard some beautiful stories about people weren't even seeking for it. They were just seeking for him. And that's the point. Don't seek an it. Don't seek an emotion. Don't seek a tongue. Seek him. Don't seek the gift. Seek him, and he will give you what he wants you to have. And I'm okay with it. We're not going to check you to see if you speak tongues before you come in the building. It's not about that. But do you want everything that God has for you? And for those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, here's the interesting thing about this. If I do this, it's going to run dry. And so we have to go back to the source often, to get refilled. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle of going back to the Holy Spirit saying, fill me again. You know what gets in the way of this? Our busyness and our schedules. You know, it's probably not going to happen when you're driving your car saying, hey, I don't have time to pray, but right now, God's... And it can be a pretty emotional thing. You might not want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit while you're driving. Now, if God did that, you'd be okay. But what I'm saying is this. Guys, make room for it in your life. Because if you're too busy to pray for it, you're going to be too busy to go. So it's intentional what God does. I am so excited about the future of Glad Tidings. And I know it's going to explode. It's Pentecost Sunday, and what we should do on Pentecost Sunday is have the prayer team come up here and pray and lay hands on you and pray that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. It's scriptural to pray for people to receive and lay hands on them. But more than that, we're not going to do that this morning. Because I want your prayer time and your altar to be when you go home and you shut yourself away with God and you say, God, this is what you've called me to from what I can see, and I can't accomplish it by myself. And I want you to give me everything that you've got for me. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was privately at my home. It wasn't in front of everyone. I'm not against that. Please hear me. But there's something personal about this. Something personal about this. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I'm going to ask Pastor Rain to come. I am going to do a call to come to the front, and it's simply about this. If you're here this morning and you're not satisfied with where you are and you want more of God, then come forward because I want to pray over you. If you want more of what God has for you. If you're not filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you want a greater power, you want it to be used like never before, and maybe you're nervous about it and you don't know what it looks like, but you want more and you're willing to surrender yourself, then come forward. It's not an easy thing, guys. When God called us to the missions, I wrestled with him for 9 months. And you'll wrestle with him because he will call you out beyond what you're willing, beyond your comfort zone. And you'll have questions and you'll wrestle. But God will use you incredibly. What I hope to see, what I believe we will see, I believe the future of Glad Tidings looks like this. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I freely give. Let that be what you're about. Let that be what God does in your life. It's not about the name of a church. It's not about a pastor. It's not about any of that. It's about him and his kingdom. And if you will surrender yourself, I'm telling you, buckle your seatbelts. Because there are greater things ahead of you. Jesus says it, greater things will you do than I. He's going to the Father and he's sending his power to you. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Those at the front, if you would just lift your hands to God, and I want to pray over you, but more than that, what I want is I want you to start praying. This is not about me praying for you. It's about you praying for you. It's about you just begin to pour out your heart. Just begin to pour out your heart. I'm going to ask Pastor Rain to lead us in worship. Oh, you guys pour out your hearts, and then I'm going to pray over you after that. But just let him know where you are. Let him know your struggles. Let him know your worries. Let him know the hang-ups that you have. Let him know about your control. He knows it anyway. And begin to lay those things at his feet and say, God, everything I have is yours.